This is CyberSound, your simplified and fundamentals focused source for all things cybersecurity.
Welcome to CyberSound. I'm your host, Jason Pufall, with mainstays Steve Maresca and Michael Grandy. So, exciting episode for us. 100 episodes. This is the 100th episode.
Doesn't that seem possible?
Yeah, 2 years we've been working on this.
Incredible.
On this project.
Yes.
Because yeah. that's squarely what it feels like. You know, we've grown top 5% podcast globally, which is a big deal. I know you're smirking because you know what do those numbers really mean? But it means people are listening ultimately.
And 2 years ago, we were in the 0%.
Right.
That's true.
So
right. Went from
95% progression. That's
Positive. Parents and siblings are fantastic listeners.
They are.
I don't know. Well, since we added Michael too, right? He's got a robust LinkedIn following, so we definitely get some feedback there.
Yes.
We have grown a lot though. Right? But the first podcast that we ever did was two or three USB mics attached to a PC with Audacity. I think we pretty much realized after one recording session that wasn't going to work really well. We've had Eric, who nobody can see on camera, right? But Eric has helped produce 2 years worth of podcasts. We're going to include a picture of the room of our recording studio.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a good time to do that when we're editing it, to throw that in there. But it's really grown. You know, we're at a point now where we've got, equipment over there. I'm not even sure what it does. Mixers for sure. I think, video inputs. We've got three cameras. We've got a giant.
We've got lights everywhere.
Everywhere, right? It's 140 degrees in here.
Soundproofing, soundboards, name it.
Yeah. I mean, it feels real. The sound is great. We've incorporated video. One of the, we're talking about some of the historic podcasts that we liked. The fraud in higher education one, that's episode 83, that included Maurice Simpkins. And he talked about the essentially fraudulent applications in higher ed, right? It's a great episode.
Higher education in recent times has become pretty much the number one target for fraud and for scamming activity. And so as we've seen this uptick in this major swing across the nation, not just in community colleges or in large institutions, you have Ivy League schools, you have some of the more prestigious schools that are still having these issues, rear its face. And so when we knew that it was a identifiable problem, ourselves and our team went to work, and the SAFE platform is what we brought to market, and we're having great success with it thus far.
The reason I chose that as one of the ones for me to sort of focus on was that was our transition into video. It was the first one That's where true. We had published purely Zoom. We actually had a little webcam. We're simply in there as part of the Zoom video. But it was our first attempt to say, do we want to do this? And do we want to make investments in it? And we ultimately obviously have.
Yeah.
So,
visual makes everything easier.
Yeah.
Whether you're listening or participating in conversation at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I've noticed a positive trend with the YouTube videos being posted now and being able to jump to different sections. People pointed out, hey, this part of the video, I really enjoyed it. Whereas before, it's really just sort of the cadence of the discussion. Right. So it's a lot more in depth for the audience, which
is
great.
And I guess maybe a plug for YouTube to some degree as well. Like, our data is better, so it is easier to understand. How much are people listening? Is there a spot where people are dropping off, and can we address that? Like, it actually gives us now the ability to tailor these to more what people want, which I think is pretty cool. But that'll get to the top 4%, top 3%, right? Which is the goal?
To the moon, right?
So I mean, that was my first episode. I'm not sure what do you guys want to.
I don't know. Just speaking generally, this podcast is our way of expressing our philosophy for engaging with the world, our customers. Security is a discipline. And I think it does come through. It matters a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, selling of fear out there. We try not to do that. And I do hear positive feedback from a lot of customers, from a lot of other people that, that's appreciated.
Yeah.
So I think it's working.
There's a sort of there's a term in banking that went around, and it's still applicable very much today, but I think it sort of works. Know your customer, right? If you're familiar with your customer and what's happening, the trends and sort of what to expect. This is a little bit of a flip on that, right? It's a little bit about know who your service provider is and get to know a little bit more about them and right. have a great history of understanding both their relationships that we have with a lot of different people and our perspectives. And I think to your point, right, how do we approach things? What are our core values and, you know, what do we stick to and what do we try to deliver
right.
for every engagement and beyond that, right? Because we bring in a lot of folks who maybe are in the competitive space. We're open to those things and partnerships. So it's been great.
Well, so, and we just had that, you know, that 2-day planning session that we worked on. And one of the words that came out during that was everybody, we feel like everybody has a lot of virtue, right? We're yeah. a virtuous company. We care a lot about the way we engage with clients. It's interesting as I have some, frankly, sales discussions with people now, and we talk about our desire to be impactful, to educate, et cetera. You can refer to something like this.
Yeah.
And right, and it just drives home that idea of being virtuous. Like, not only are we saying, hey, if we have a conversation, it's going to be informative, it's going to be educative, and we're not necessarily pushing hard on the sales side. And by the way, here's things that we do that demonstrate our commitment to the education process, which yeah. is important to me.
And I feel that being able to refer to this, you know, even a year and a half ago has enabled us to engage with people that might have, you know, had questions.
Sure.
You know, it's a way to sort of see what you're getting.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know that what Steve's favorite themes, without a doubt, are the holiday themes.
Of course, without a doubt.
What do you call them?
I called them the goofball yet grown worthy. I don't know.
I put tech in the top hat as one of the things. I think that sort of recent one around AI, I just got a kick out of personally.
You know, Frosty first came around maybe in the 1950s, and you have to remember, the military-industrial complex after World War II was idle. It needed a lot of support. They had to transition somehow. This was a Skunk Works project. And if you don't know about a Skunk Works project, it's really, you know, kind of a dark research opportunity. It's where your U-2 planes were developed. Frosty is one of them.
He's a weapon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it depends how you look at it, right? You know. The public record may present one visible.
It seems like a good-natured weapon.
Right.
I mean, he's
right.
bringing joy.
Hey, propaganda is a really strong thing. You have to present an outward positive image.
But, you know, going back even further, we had the Santa Claus the is list. Coming to town.
That's episode. Right. Yeah.
And that was the first attempt at us saying, hey, let's do something fun for Christmas.
Yeah.
I think we've done a couple Christmas episodes, Valentine's yep. Day, Independence Day. Right? Those are fun. Honestly, I think they're just fun.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the how does Santa know whether you're naughty or nice.
Yeah. Right.
That was – could have gone off the rails, but it was okay.
And I think I took a lot of guidance, I would say, from that episode in our most – one of our very recent Valentine's Day episodes where, you know, when you really start to apply some thought to – when you want to know a lot about your significant other, well, there's a lot of ways to do that. So right. I felt a little sinister after that episode, but it was great.
I mean, and I think, you know, I'll say maybe you weren't so enthusiastic with the Santa episode way back when, but you brought your A game for tech in a top hat, right? And you're thinking around, and we'll probably play a snippet of it, like the thinking around Frosty as part of like a government conspiracy. Yeah, government, exactly. Right?
I mean, dark weapon.
That. Yeah, it was just a fun take.
Military-industrial complex.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
We were in a serious business.
You got to riff a little bit, though.
Absolutely. And we've had some really great guests also, especially, you know, over the last really guests throughout. But we've learned so much from them and some of the services they offer, you know, from, you know, the state senators talking about AI and legislation to you know, open banking with a company as large as MasterCard, all the way to more local considerations with CBIA and Christy Vatima joining us. It's just been, you know, it's been great to have some flavor and some, you know, additional light outside of just, hey, strictly cybersecurity
right.
issues, right?
Right.
How are things affecting different lines of business?
And we're not the experts in everything.
Sure.
We want to actually engage with the people who are and have them heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, one of my takeaways, because we have, you know, Bill Roberts that we've talked about,
right
on sort of that legal side, manufacturer CT will be coming up. Yeah, we, you know, from a format standpoint, we expect to do more guest speaking.
Yeah,
I think what I didn't expect when we started this was how everybody kind of wants to participate in a podcast. I think, you know, generally when we ask people, the response is, hey, that sounds neat. Like, I'd like to join.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fun aspect of this, getting to meet people that you otherwise might not have sort of some of these in-depth conversations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Having some conversations that, you know, are probably, as you just said, sort of outside of our normal comfort zone, learning and bringing that to our audience.
I think it's also enjoyable to share stories and expertise with people who understand that we are curious.
Yes.
And recognize that they are experts in the field, because they just want to share with others and guide and, you know, do exactly what we're trying to do too.
Absolutely.
It kind of resonates mutually.
Yeah. But it's a complex space. So
it is.
Yeah. Anything we can do to help.
Right.
Maybe another one that I wanted to call out, honestly, might not be the most exciting episode we ever did, but we did it twice, which was the security fundamentals. And, you know, we certainly talked about, you know, patching and vulnerability management. It's basically totally free. A lot of this stuff is actually built right into your operating system, so the systems you run. Have conversations around security threats, right? Security awareness training internally. It can be, you know, made complicated. It can be really easy if you just have some basic conversations. Focus a little bit on phishing. Make sure folks understand sort of data privacy requirements for sure. Talk about credential management, you know, password management. Look at multi-factor, two-factor, right? There's a variety of ways to describe that. Really, I think two-factor has become such a standard now that we want people to utilize that. Obviously, back up your data. I think the idea of having a business impact analysis, even if it's a discussion around the conference room table with the people who, you know something about the business, do that and take steps accordingly. And then look at, you know, AV or EDR, right? EDR being the gold standard,
right?
If you can potentially afford it. The reason I thought that was kind of an important one to speak to was it's just so relevant still. I listened to it in preparation for this, and everything we talked about 2 years ago and then basically 1 year ago for many businesses still applies today. And it's got takeaways,
right?
Which I really like.
I mean, the security fundamentals are even well expressed in a mature organization, things that need nurturing.
Right.
Yeah, they erode.
Right.
You know, people change, staff rotates, technologies shift. It never really ends. I think we'll revisit it again, candidly.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. And maybe we'll add one to that.
Sure.
So,
I really enjoyed talking about finding privacy in public data.
You know, be informed. Understand. You know, in this case, right, we're not talking about private sites, right? Understand how data in the public domain is created and stored, and what you might be, what might be out there about you, and kind of you'll find your comfort level, because I think you do have some recourse if you do want to ask for some of it to be expunged, perhaps, but, you know, determine what your comfort level is and make some decisions around the data that you have out there.
There's something enjoyable about trying to translate things that are just out of reach for the average person. You know, everyone that you know in your social sphere probably has made a comment like, hey, you know, I got an advertisement on my phone.
Yeah.
I was talking about it just before that.
Yeah.
But how does that happen?
Right.
You know, talking about some of that and revealing whether that's a true thing or if it's more of a serendipitous alignment of data, I don't know. But that was a good episode because we gave some pointers about how to regain control over your personal data, how to clamp down on, you know, some of the stuff that people don't know about unless they're guided to it.
Right.
And just the 23andMe episode regarding privacy and disclosure and sort of where the position a large company may take that may be divergent from what you'd expect in some cases. That was enlightening for me participating in that. You know, one of the other areas, and I think it's just been trending obviously everywhere, right, is AI. And I don't know the number. It's got to be 3, 4, 5 episodes that we've done.
At least. Yeah, I mean, we're going to record another one on AI privacy soon.
Yeah.
And even some prior to that we didn't call AI, but were more machine learning.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's expanded. It's in the public purview. And it's amazing to think that in November of 2023, maybe October, I don't know that it was as commonly discussed in general circles. And then, you know, that release comes out of ChatGPT and what's happening. And then it's just been an onslaught since then.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and that actually, that's one of the hard things about this podcast, because if we really go back, you mentioned machine learning. We did have a podcast where we, you, me and Matt, really sort of said, AI, you know, it's kind of just machine learning. We weren't quite as bullish as I'd say 2 years later.
All the same, I don't feel that the statements made then
are totally appropriate.
Yeah, I think they're still accurate today.
Yep.
It's a matter of understanding the technology and whether it's applicable or useful,
right,
and trying to interpret reality from marketing.
But you're putting yourself out here in this kind of format. Like what you say, you know, it stays there for 2 years and people can say, well,
it's true.
Know, 2 years ago they said this and now they're saying this.
But looking back, I don't feel that we missed the mark, even if we shifted the terminology to what, you know, became a common subject of generative AI.
Right. With maybe a little more enthusiasm.
Sure.
So at least on my part, I'll say that.
Yeah. At that time in the market, things were a little more immature.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, things changed.
Now, one of the key aspects of our business, one of our capabilities, and I think something that was brought in was, you know, experiencing a breach or an attack.
Sure.
And I think we had an episode, what the first 48 hours is like.
Yeah. So I think that one of the things that we see so often is when incidences begin, nobody's really sure what the correct next steps always are, right? And in my opinion, I often tend to wait a little too long, kind of hoping things might resolve themselves or maybe they can deal with them on that case-by-case basis. You know, a lot of times we see them just sort of grow in complexity and ultimately turn into that bigger event.
Right? Yeah, or it's the knee-jerk reaction and everything gets shut off, right?
Yeah.
Which, it's worth noting. Try to avoid that. If you are feeling very nervous about something that's happened, unplugging network cables, that's probably okay. We like to keep machines on
if we can. Don't turn them off.
So that when you do have someone come in, we there's something for us to look at.
Yeah, and I enjoyed that episode quite a bit. We've done a lot of incident response. People in that moment panic. Yeah. And there's real urgency in trying to regain calm and control and be collected and make decisions in a clean, informed way. That episode, I think, did a really decent job about outlining the steps that an organization should take to produce a good outcome in what could be an otherwise unpleasant event.
It really outlined our what you refer to, like our core philosophy,
right? Yeah.
When it comes to that.
And that episode, just to restate it here if others haven't heard it, comes from us performing incident response many times.
Yeah. So we're avoiding those episodes we don't really like, right?
This is fine. Probably a few of them.
But I actually think we have fewer of them now. I feel like if I were to look back, there were definitely a handful. For sure, you and I walked out saying, oof, hopefully that one resonates. We're not sure. And I think we've got better now at understanding who's reasonable guests to bring on, what reasonable topics are. Probably broadened things a little bit. We had the episode, I forget what we called it, but with Darren, that was kind of more like business and financial protection.
Yeah, business insurance.
We've gotten a little further afield from pure security to more risk management stuff, which I also think is really good.
Yeah, and it was sort of expanding our scope and again, bringing different layers of what could be complex subject matters to the audience. Mm-hmm. I think that might be a good segue just to think about. You talked about the evolution of the show. Certainly, technically, we've done a lot, but the people. I mean, there's a lot of people participating in this process outside of us. And shout out to Matt Fusaro, who isn't available for our episode today.
Yeah, which is too bad.
But certainly a core member of what we've been able to do with Cybersound. But, it's been it's expanded, sort of like a little bit of a production. We've got our own production.
Right. We do.
I think there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 people who are involved in some capacity on a regular basis.
Yeah, finding topics, producing. We've got internal support with Olivier now doing some of the recording. We're adding people internally now to help. It's a labor of love, ultimately. I think we've talked a couple of times around, it's a fair amount of effort. And every time we roll in, it's all right. We've got work to do.
Yeah,
we're here because we like doing it. And I think one of the things that if I were going to say maybe more in closing, we really do care to make this a useful podcast for people, right? And we want people to get the value out of it. They're putting 15, 20, 25 minutes into it. We want them to get value out of it. So you know, topic ideas, we're wide open to. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, if you think you want to join, let us know.
Yeah.
We're happy to chat with you on that. But our goal is to make this valuable, continue making it valuable, continuing to improve it. I think we've done a lot to mature it. Maybe from a production, the only thing I would say is maybe a bigger room might be. Nice. So we didn't always have to sit like this together, yeah. Right? But otherwise, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
Well, I'll extend some thanks to both of you, Jason, for I think coming up. The idea came out somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it for a good 10 years.
I mean, this was a new park. Our marketing, the company that we work with, suggested doing it. And I said, oh, that sounds great. And I don't know if I knew what I was getting into.
It was certainly a trial balloon at
yeah,
first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but both of you and of course, Matt, sort of setting the building blocks of what we have now and are really fantastic guests that we've been able to bring in. And we have a lot more coming, which is really exciting. A lot of cool topics on the agenda. So it'll be really exciting. Another 2024, 2025 and on.
Yeah, keep on going.
Yeah, 100 episodes. We're going to look back on that. Right. I remember when
top 2%, 200 episodes.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, you got to have goals.
Yeah.
So, well, I want to thank both of you for participating because it is work for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's good work. And, you know, we're getting enough people now to watch it that I think I'm feeling some amount of like recognition, frankly.
And thanks also to anyone who has provided feedback. I mean,
most importantly,
I've received it from many, and I appreciate that.
Thanks to the audience, and always, we're supposed to say, like, hit the like button.
Yeah, Matt, that was what Brian came with, right? Smash that like button.
Although we're not, maybe we're not supposed to say that.
I don't know. It got a lot of play internally. Yeah, that's
exactly.
For sure. Of course. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. We're all ears for topics, feedback, good and bad, anything we can do to improve.
That's right.
So, all right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
We'd love to hear your feedback. Feel free to get in touch at Vancord on LinkedIn. And remember, stay vigilant, stay resilient. This has been Cybersound.